This is Way Family Church, and you're listening to our sermon podcast. We invite you to join us in person every Sunday morning at 10:30. We meet at Lawford Middle School in Tucson, Arizona. For more information about who we are, upcoming events, or if you'd like to connect, visit us online at www.wayfamily.church. Now get your Bibles ready, and let's begin.
Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 as we continue looking into Jesus' great Sermon on the Mount. Now, how did we get here? Let me just refresh our memories a little bit as to where we are right now. But this is what the Word tells us, that Jesus had recently begun his public ministry of teaching, preaching, and healing. So after his baptism, he goes and he's tempted in the wilderness, and after that, he makes his ministry public. And it wasn't long before his fame spread throughout all of Syria, for he immediately stood out above the rest. He immediately stood out from other teachers. He spoke with conviction. He spoke with knowledge and authority. He said things like, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He said things that you wouldn't hear necessarily from other religious leaders. And so naturally, you would see that he accumulated a gathering. He accumulated people that would follow him. There was something interesting about what he was saying, and not just what he was saying, but what he was doing. See, Jesus proclaimed repentance, but he also proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, the good news of the kingdom of heaven. And he went on healing every disease, is what the Bible tells us, and every affliction among the people. Wow, you think about that. Here's this man who's walking and talking differently. He's doing things that were unheard of, unseen. People would only dream of these things. However, he's also challenging them in ways that, one, and I think that you know this feeling, you know, it's good for you. You know that the challenge is sometimes something that we need to hear, but we don't want to hear. But he speaks in a way that you just had to lend an ear. And so great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. What a sight to see. I can only imagine what this looked like. And they followed him because what Jesus said was of value. For many there, his words were not just interesting, they were credible. They were backed up by love and service, and most importantly, the scriptures. What Jesus said was credible because it was real. And he was able to show that. And what he said was always true. And when people would try to challenge Jesus, they found themselves facing truth. Which, if you do that, that means that you're on the side of some kind of fallacy. And Jesus made it clear that his words were true. And so today, if we think about this, we too follow a variety of teachers and influencers. We all do that, right? We live in the world of social media. We live in the world where all of our information comes from who we follow. You follow? Right? So who do we follow? Where do we get our intel from? Who are the voices that we listen to? And I hope that you follow those who you find credible. I hope that that's why you follow the people that you follow, because you find them to be a credible source of information. And I hope that you don't just listen to anybody or anything, because there's a lot of information out in the world. And not all of it is truthful. Who do you learn from? Do you learn from honest and credible sources? Do you do your homework to realize, okay, is this person speaking truth or is this person making fables? But it's important for us to check our resources. I love the example of the Bereans, who examined the scriptures daily to see whether or not what Paul was saying was true. Was he a credible teacher? You know, sometimes it's just too easy to open up the Wikipedia, Google, whatever it may be, Facebook, and you read these things and you think, wow, this is interesting. I recently came across a video that was made from someone in the East Coast and visited Tucson, Arizona. And this little short video said something like, did you know that Tucson, Arizona has a fleet of airplanes and the Air Force is equipped and ready to go to do a large invasion in these countries that are currently at war. And he showed the picture of the boneyard. And so if you don't know anything about Arizona and anything about the boneyard, and if you saw these images, you would think, wow, I did not know that. And perhaps what he said sounded real. It sounded true because there was some kind of image there. But we all know that is no fleet ready to go. We all know that that's a military aircraft junkyard. And so guests, when you see that, know that they're parked there because they're retired. That's a parts yard. But see, these kind of things are everywhere. And so we have to do our due diligence and really examine whether or not our sources are credible. Now, when I ask you these questions, who do you learn from? Who do you follow? Some of you guys may have clear answers to these things. And some of you guys may be feeling a little discouraged by the fact that today it's very difficult to find anybody credible. And so we may say, nobody. I find nobody credible. Everywhere I look, there's lies. Lies here, lies there. I believe that our society today is suffering from the effects of lies, twisted truths, or partial truths. These are all still lies. These are credibility gaps. And they're nothing new. And they're widening more and more by these continual lies. I'm hearing some reverb. Maybe we need to mute something. I'm not sure. Anyway, these credibility gaps, they've all existed since the fall. In fact, the fall is the result of a twisted truth. The fall is the result of that serpent who manipulated words to convince someone of something that wasn't so. These twisted truths are lies. And so lack of credibility or honest speech has caused deep scars to our world and our modern society. There's no doubt about it. We are afflicted because everyone around us seems to be a liar in one shape or form. Satan, who is not just a liar himself, but the father of lies, thrives in a dishonest world. And unless we're born again, and unless we're saved from our sinful nature, because our sinful nature loves to lie. Why? Because it's self-protection. It's self-exaltation. That's why we fib. That's why we thoughtlessly deliver white lies all the time, or we manipulate the truth because we think that we can self-protect, self-preserve. And this, unless we are born again, unless we're redeemed from that, that's all we could be. That's all we could do is be liars and make this credibility gap even wider. And so Jesus calls the citizens of his kingdom to be devoted to truth. He calls us to be honest in all things, not willing to bend the truth or swear falsely. And that's where we are today. As we continue in the Sermon on the Mount, let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 through 37. And it says this, follow along with me, in regards to oaths. Again, you have heard it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstools, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to come and learn from you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word and the time that you devoted to teach us, to instruct us, to correct us, that we would be conformed, Lord Jesus, into your likeness. So, Lord, today we ask that you would help prepare our hearts and souls and minds to receive from you, and that we would just not be hearers of the word, Father, but doers as well. Help us live according to your word and your will. Help us, Father, be excellent kingdom citizens. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, so what is Jesus saying in this passage? Well, in a nutshell, He's saying that we should say what we mean and mean what we say. That's the bottom line. As kingdom citizens, we should always be honest, because if we were always honest, there wouldn't be a need for swearing oaths. That's the bottom line. You really don't need to swear if you're honest. In fact, swearing, making promises that kind of, upgrade the word that you're saying, that's unnecessary if everything that you're saying is true. And so as kingdom citizens, we must always speak the truth. Today's sermon title is Credible Citizens. We need to be credible citizens, especially as kingdom citizens, because we live in a world of skepticism, a world that often can't tell the difference between fact and make-believe. You know the world I'm talking about? That's here and that's now. And these credibility gaps that I'm talking about, they are made wider and wider by several things that we currently completely are consumed by, like movies, like music, like TV, like advertising. Oh, brother, have I seen some ads that are just so far from true, right? We see things that are just blended in with this truth, so it's kind of credible, it's kind of believable at first glance. And so what happens is we bring in fantasy and we mix it with truth and outright falsehood as well. Let's just throw it in there, and it makes life difficult to understand for so many. Unless you understand this guide, the word of the Lord, this world can be extremely confusing. He says that, but he says this, but he's a professional, but so is he. He's an MD, but this MD is contradicting what that MD is saying. Who knows, you know? It's all confusing. And so let me ask you this. Are you ever suspicious of people? Yeah? Or are you happy-go-lucky? I believe you. That's great. You know, I kind of tend to be like that sometimes. I think the best of people. But are you ever suspicious of people? What kind of people are you suspicious of? Are you suspicious of business people? Advertisers? Yeah? How about commentators? Salesmen? Very suspicious. Lawyers can be very suspicious. Oh, let's not talk about politicians. You knew I was going to say that. You know, and like as I mentioned, even doctors are sometimes suspicious. We live in a world where we have to just be skeptical. But what about pastors? What about ministers? Many, if not most, preachers have also become very suspect. Why? Why is it so difficult to trust anybody nowadays? And the answer is simple. Because our whole society is largely built on a network of fabricated or manufactured, quote-unquote, truths. That's why, to the point where nothing is truth. And so we as people often hold back on the truth. We cheat, we exaggerate, we misrepresent, we make promises that we never intend to keep. We make up excuses and often betray one another. You know what? This is normal. This isn't right, but this is now normal. This is everyday stuff. In fact, it's so normal that our children will often say things like, cross my heart, hope to die. Stick a needle in my eye. What does that even mean? What it means is that this time I'm actually saying the truth. You know, I promise, pinky promise. This time I'm really saying the truth. This is actually kind of sad, because if we were honest, we wouldn't have to say anything like that. We know that this kid is probably lying more often than we think. But the fact that we require these pinky promises, or that we're required to say, I swear, you know, this is saying a lot. And if we're honest also with ourselves, we might confess to saying this too. And if I'm honest with you, which sometimes I hate to be, I could even tell you that sometimes I pinky promise with my kids and say to them, I promise, cross my heart. Why? Because maybe I've been dishonest with my children too. You know, kids will say things like this to emphasize that this time they're being truthful. Parents will sometimes do the same. This is how kids learn it. This is actually sad. And already at a young age, children are taught that there's wiggle room in what we say, whether it be true or false. This is just the sad reality of the world that we live in today, and Jesus is confronting this. Why have we come to require an extreme oath to emphasize when we are speaking 100% truthfully? Why? Why do we require that nowadays? This means that perhaps more often than not, we blur the line between truthfulness and dishonesty. We widen the credibility gap. Some of us may have come to be fluent liars, like Pinocchio. Some of us don't know how to say anything except lies. You see, this is something that becomes easier and easier and easier as you do it. It starts with a little lie, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger to the point where that's all you know. You don't even know how to differentiate what is true from what is false, and this is problematic. And I love the movie Pinocchio in this regard because this growing of the nose made it more and more obvious that we often lie, you know, sometimes without even realizing it. And so for some, lying has become the native tongue. And this kind of speech can provoke those that you interact with to anger. See, all of this connects in the Sermon on the Mount. This is not isolated. It connects to everything. You can provoke people to anger. It can open the doors to dishonest relationships, perhaps adultery. This kind of speech can also sever covenants, leading people to divorce. When you lie, you cause problems. Telling the truth and being honest is something that all kingdom citizens should care deeply about. So really, ask yourself this question. Do you care deeply about the truth? Do you like to be lied to? There's no question that honesty is extremely important. Without it, there is no way we could ever stand out as Christians. Without it, your witness to the nations has no credibility. That's important for us to know. If we're constantly fibbing, if we're constantly lying, and if we've made ourselves someone who is known to be dishonest, then when you try and go witness of Jesus Christ, you are not credible. That is problematic. And you know what? We think that this is just what we deal with today. But the fact of the matter is that this was also the issue and a problem back in Jesus' day. And so Jesus goes on to correct this. And once again, Jesus corrects the misinterpretations and the misunderstanding of the Pharisees and the scribes and those who are taught by them. He's not attacking the scriptures themselves. And he once again turns what they thought they knew upside down. What they thought about oaths, he turned it upside down. It's like, wait a second. Am I wrong about this? You know that feeling when you think you know something and you realize I was off? You know, I feel that way very often when I'm doing math. Jesus confronts us with the reality of our wayward hearts. And once again, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. And this is what Jesus is getting at. That which is in the inside will inevitably surface to the outside. Therefore, as kingdom citizens, we must always speak the truth to others. Let's challenge ourselves in this every day. We must always speak the truth to others. The days of a gentleman's contract are now old-fashioned and unfortunately unrealistic. Elton, you remember those days where you could just shake someone's hand and say, and it was good? Those are now unrealistic. You know, but this reality is not new. Today we can say that we live in a world of alternative facts, meaning everything just has an alternative definition, and therefore what you thought is not so, it could be something else. And in Jesus' day, the same could be said. And unfortunately, those who were sought as the spiritual guides regularly assisted people in their deceitfulness and their convenient conditions or terms or exceptions to what was true. They helped people come up with excuses to not follow up on an oath. And so, again, I must confess that I have been often guilty of loopholing my way out of promises as well, especially with my children. There are moments where I feel motivated to do something with them and for them. I've got the energy, and I think this is going to be great. I'm going to be the father of the year. Let's do this, guys, right? And just a couple of hours later, I'm just not feeling it. And so what do? We kind of try to loophole our way out of it and say things like, oh, I hope this is not just me, by the way. We say things like, unfortunately, you didn't get your room cleaned up. We can't do what we said we were going to do. That's terrible. You know, the Lord doesn't like this, and we often do this. Lord, forgive me for doing this. You know, you may be relating to me. I'm hoping that I'm not the only one. And thinking that this is all good. This is normal, Pastor. Don't worry about it. But you know what? We have to face this. God has a problem with this. He does. And it is precisely this attitude that Jesus is confronting. This system of loopholes and clauses and exceptions is exactly what needs to be addressed. We need to quit doing that. Jesus goes on to say in verse 33, he says, "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old." He's continuing here. He's correcting misinterpretation after misinterpretation after misinterpretation. And again, you have heard these things. This is what you think to know. This is what your ancestors have thought to know. "You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to" who? "To the Lord what you have sworn." This is what you know. Jesus is referring once again to the law of Moses. He's essentially summarizing what the law stated in regards to this matter. Let me give you a couple of passages of the law in regards to this matter. And so what Jesus does is he pulls a little bit from Leviticus 19:12, where it commands, "You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." And then in Numbers chapter 32, you read, "If a man vows a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." This is what they have heard it said. This is what they knew. And this command is good. But in summary, what was understood of the law was this, and it essentially, he breaks it down and it says something like, "You must not break your oath, but you must keep your oaths to the Lord." And that was the extent of it. You must keep it only to the Lord is how you could misinterpret it. And so I would say, okay, simple enough. How about some loopholes? Well, there were loopholes for this. You could swear to the Lord, but not directly to the Lord. These are loopholes that they were just so creative in performing. And so they taught crafty speech that sounded binding, but technically it wasn't under the name of the Lord. And so therefore, I don't have to uphold this oath. And so they taught how to vow in ways that were technically, again, not binding because they did not specifically direct or invoke the name of the Lord. But the bottom line was this: they taught that you must be honest, that you must keep your word to the Lord, but the same commitment was not taught, not necessary, not applicable to others. This is problematic. Do you see that? So as long as you're good with God, you can be a liar to anybody else. No problem. God has a problem with this. When it comes to making promises to people, you might think, like me, especially with my kids, there's always wiggle room. No. This was certainly not the case. It seemed that the inconvenient truth spoken by Zechariah was just that inconvenient. Remember last week we talked about the two different schools of thought in regards to divorce. There was the school of Shammai and there was the school of Hillel. The school of Shammai said there's got to be sexual immorality and those are the only condition for divorce. And the school of Hillel says you can divorce her for any indecency. Which view became more prominent? The one that was more convenient. That's essentially what happens. And so this passage in Zechariah, which has addressed this issue, becomes kind of ignored. We don't really look at that because we don't really like that. What did Zechariah say? Chapter 8, 16 through 17 made it clear that these are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Not just the Lord, it says one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another and love no false oath. Love no false oath. For all these things I hate, declares the Lord. If the Lord hates this, we have to take note of this, right? See, most seem to have forgotten this again, or just out of inconvenience, you don't really look at it. Again, the emphasis was only on the importance of speaking truth to God. And as long as you were faithful in that, you were good according to the law. And this meant that honesty and communication apart from the Lord wasn't important at all. Promises of your word to others were not obligatory. You can say whatever you do just to get by in the moment, and then you can bounce out of there. You can ditch that commitment. You could break it at your convenience. You just had to be crafty with it. And then Jesus, who is the Word and the truth incarnate, he himself would have nothing to do with this prevailing mindset at all. By his own authority, he challenges what was thought, what was understood, and he corrects this misunderstanding. And he says, verse 34, "But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair black or white." In other words, Christians, Christ's disciples, followers, should never need to swear oaths because honesty and integrity is what we speak all the time to God and to man alike. And this is something that's important for us to know. If you swear it to God, you swear it to all, because everything is by God and for God, and God is everywhere, and that's the bottom line. We all need to know that everything we say is witnessed by God. He knows exactly what you're swearing to others, what your promises are. You know, just being reminded of this, I'm feeling guilty for the lies that I have looped my way out of. You know what I'm talking about? He knows this, just like he knows the covenants that we make, the relationships that we have. He acknowledges it because he's serious about our word. Therefore, everything that we say should glorify God regardless of who you're addressing. This is a good challenge for us. No matter who you speak, speak truth. The Lord is there. And he's witnessing, and he's hearing it. And God is concerned with our hearts before he's concerned with our words. It starts here, and then it comes out, right? Therefore, we don't loophole. We don't twist or dilute truths. Jesus says, don't swear by heaven, as if it is countless. Oh, I swear to heaven. That's not God. I swear to heaven. He says, no. That still means something. And he says, don't swear by earth as if it's meaningless, because it still means something. This doesn't make your vow meaningless in the least bit. And then he also invokes Jerusalem. He says, don't swear by Jerusalem either, for that which makes Jerusalem worth anything is the great king himself. What he's saying is God is in all and of all. Like all of this belongs to him. What makes heaven special and beautiful is God, the God that reigns from his throne. What makes earth anything of value is exactly like a Picasso or a Da Vinci or a Van Gogh. It's the creator of that work of art. And so in other words, there are no loopholes for God. It's present everywhere, and all is made by him and for him. And so verse 36, and don't swear by your own life either. For the life you have is not your own. It was given to you by God himself, the author and sustainer of life. It is he who knows the number of head or hairs in your head. I happen to know the number of hairs in my head too. Do you? Watch it, bud. Right? He is the one who determines our hair color. He's the one who determines our eye color. He's the one who determines whether we gray or bald. You know, he's the one who is in control of all of that. We're not in control of that. Sometimes we try to have control of what we look like in our bodies and all that stuff, but ultimately, we're not in control. He's in control. Therefore, we can't even swear on our own lives. That's out of our hands. That means ultimately nothing. And so everything you say, do, and think take place before the sovereign, omniscient eye of God, and he takes your words seriously. We need to understand this. And so therefore, everything you say should be true, and it should be good. Note that. True and good. And then he says in verse 37, let what you say be simply yes or no. Kids, you have those blanks? Those are your blanks. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. And that's the bottom line. I don't think it gets any clearer than that. We should always be men and women of our word, not requiring to swear by anything so that we can be credible. Let's stop doing that. Why don't we just say it the way it is? And then there's no need to swear anything. There's no need to pinky promise. There's no need to say, I swear on my mom's life, or whatever it is that we do. If we're just honest, that's all it takes. James, the brother of Jesus, echoes Christ's words and provides a simple reason for honest speech. And I like this. It's interesting. It's challenging. He says in James chapter 5, 12, "But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath. But let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation." I'm looking at this, and if you were a Pharisee or a scribe in this day, you would probably be feeling like you're falling under condemnation because you're responsible for teaching these things. And I'm going to share with you what the Holy Spirit's been doing in my heart. And I'm hoping that God deals with you too, because ultimately this is good for us. This is really good for us. This is how we're going to make a difference. This is how we're the salt and light of the earth. The Holy Spirit's been dealing with me. And sometimes I get frustrated when my children do fib. And sometimes I get frustrated when my children joke in a way that it really is deceitful. And you know what? I'm the one who ultimately taught that, because I tend to be a jokester sometimes. I tend to be dishonest sometimes. And that's really hard to say, but this is kind of like the little bit of self-condemnation that I have here, just realizing, oh my goodness, I have been dishonest. You know, let's just say yes and mean it. And let's just say no and mean it, so that we may not fall under condemnation. And so I imagine that those sitting around Jesus had not understood the gravity and the seriousness of dishonest oaths. And like many of us today who make distinctions between little lies and big lies, thinking that the little ones are just benign, they're harmless, right? And the big ones are the only ones to watch out for. That's how we often think, right? In fact, my daughter and I were doing a podcast in regards to a question like this. You've heard of the podcast that we do, and we ask the question, is it okay to tell little lies now and then? You know? And when I asked her to define the difference between little lies and big lies, it was very interesting. She thought little lies just meant that it had something to do with little things, like if you steal a cookie and you said you didn't, that's a little lie. But if you cut down a tree and you say you didn't, that's a big lie, because the tree's big, you know? Who knows how it is that you think about it? But the bottom line is that a lie is a lie. And this is still dishonesty. This makes us not credible in the eyes of the Lord. There is no distinction between little lies and big lies. And so look at this. A bit later in his ministry, Jesus comes down pretty heavy on the scribes and the Pharisees, these teachers of the times then, who taught others to think so contrary to the Lord's heart. Why? Again, as a result of self-exaltation, self-preservation, and he comes down hard on them, and he calls them fools, and he calls them blind guides. Guys, I don't care which one of you calls me that, I don't want to hear that from Jesus. I don't want Jesus to call me a fool or a blind guide. And so he says to them in Matthew chapter 23, 16 through 22, "Woe to you, blind guides, who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold in the temple, then he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, then, he is bound by his oath. You blind men, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Ooh. And so whoever swears by the altar swears by it and everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by the heavens swear by the throne of God and by him who sits up on it." In other words, if you swear by anything, you swear by God. That's the bottom line. So in any and all circumstances, in all situations, be a person who speaks the truth, period. Be a person who is credible. This reflects the character of God and his kingdom. And because we're called to speak truth, and this is where it gets very interesting, and this is where we really need to step up. Because we're called to speak truth, we must proclaim Christ and his gospel. Why? Jesus says in John 14, 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." That is, that no one comes to the Father except by truth, which is the way to everlasting life, which means that we need
to speak the truth of the condition and the reality that we currently find ourselves in. The truth is that we live in a broken world. Our world and our society has been severed by sin. That's the truth, and we need to acknowledge that. We need to confront that. And the truth is that so many people try to do something to self-repair, to self-medicate, to self-save, to do whatever you can to get out of this state of brokenness. That's the truth. That's the fact of the matter. But here's also the truth, is that in the beginning, God didn't make it this way. This is the result of sin. The truth is that when Jesus created everything, he made it perfect. When Jesus made everything, he said, it is good. And so what happened? Sin entered the world and it severed our relationship with God. That gap was widened by sin more and more and more. But he has made a way, and this is the truth. The way that he has made was himself. He took on flesh and he came and he paid the debt that we owed. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of life is life everlasting. And so this is the fact of the matter is you can't save yourself. You need a savior. We have to acknowledge that. We have to speak this. This is true. You need a savior and his name is Christ Jesus, and he's the only one that's qualified to pay that debt that you owe. And he's the only one who has a righteousness that is good enough for you to be counted righteous and for you to be accepted and admitted in the presence of God. That's the truth, because on your own, you are disqualified. Amen. That's truth. That is true. And so as kingdom citizens, we have to speak truth always, even when it's hard. Even when we feel like, it'd be better for me not to right now. No, it wouldn't. Because everything that we say and everything that we do matters for eternity. It really does. And so friends, church, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Brandon, let my yes be yes and my no be no. Let's be credible citizens. This is the call that the Lord has put in our lives. This is what he's teaching his disciples. Are we disciples of Jesus Christ? Then let's mean what we say and say what we mean. Amen. Bow your heads with me. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Father, that you're so gracious with us. For we truly deserve, Father, the death that's due to us, Father, because we are truly guilty of our sin. We are truly guilty of bending the truth, of loopholing, of lying, of thinking that our word to others is not as valuable as our word to you, Lord. Just help us realize that we're all image bearers. We're all given dignity, Father, for you created each and every one here, Lord Jesus. And so help us, Father, be stronger when it comes to speaking truth, Lord Jesus. Not just in saying things that are true, but also in proclaiming the gospel of truth. Help us, Lord Jesus, be faithful in all things. We love you, we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you.